I sincerely appreciate each one of you being here today. And I sincerely and thoroughly enjoyed the choir singing this morning. I was watching Brother Merv, and I thought he was going to jump out of that choir there a time or two. Amen. Brother Merv, I'll meet you in the morning, brother. And we're going to have a time. I thought about the revival last week. I preached over Sally's Chapel out of the Book of Ruth all week. The first night had to do with how that Ruth found more than she bargained for in her faith. She put her faith in the God of Israel in chapter number 1, said, I'm out of here. I'm going with Naomi. She found more than she bargained for when she got in his field, over there in the field of Boaz. But then she found more than she bargained for in chapter 3 at his feet. And then when she was put in that family, they got married in chapter number 4, she found more than she bargained for in his family. But you know, all of that, on Friday night, I backed up to chapter number 2, where Boaz said, a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou hast come to trust. Her full reward wasn't in her faith. Her full reward wasn't in his field. Her full reward wasn't at his feet. Her full reward wasn't at his in his family. But thank God when she breathed her last breath here, her full reward was in the morning. Amen. Weeping endures for a night, but joy, unspeakable and full of glory, comes in the morning. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for the promises of God. They mean something to me. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn to Genesis chapter number 3. I'm well aware that sometime back I preached out of this chapter. I tell you that just so you'll know that I'm not already senile at age 54. Amen. I know that one preacher said somebody, you know, took real good notes and marked in the margin of the Bible the date that he preached this and the date that he preached that. And he said, a woman said to him, said, you've already preached that twice. Said, when are you going to move on? He said, maybe when you get it. Amen. Now, I'm not going to preach the message again, but it's a different kind of thought. And I hope in that different kindly thought that I can find my notes. There they are. Amen. I love to study the Word of God, and I love to try to prepare and pray and ask God what we need. And I think that's important, don't you? In Genesis chapter number 3, we're going to be all over the chapter, but just for the sake of time, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes. How many knows there's a whole lot of things that's pleasant to the eyes? It's not good for the heart. The Bible said here it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly that shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Let's pray together. Father, I need your help. I pray, God, for the unction of the Holy One, the anointing, Lord, of the Spirit of God. Lord, I like the song the choir sang. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Holy Spirit, this morning we need you. Dear Son of the living God, Lord Jesus, we couldn't be here without you, without the sacrifice that you made for our lives. God, we praise you this morning for this privilege. And I pray, God, someone will get help, myself included, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I want to preach for a little while this morning, and I do want to try to get through this. Brother Brad Cridmore will be with us tonight. His wife's name is Jamaica. His children are Lily and Micaiah, and I believe they'll be a blessing. Amen. Take your bulletin now this afternoon and study their names a little bit. That way, when Sister Jamaica comes in, you can call her name. Amen. And he's going to tell us about what's going on in Haiti. He works with national pastors. He takes on projects, and he'll tell us all about that, the trips going in and out, the needs. And this dear brother was in my living room about a year ago. I was very impressed with the work that God has called him to do, and I pray that he'll be a blessing. He's going to preach for us tonight, too. He's out of Rogersville Baptist Temple. That's his home church down in Rogersville. So please be back tonight and hear Brother Brad. So I want to try to get done this morning with this message. I told my wife coming in the church property this morning, it seems like an eternity, just missing Wednesday night since I've been here. It really does. I've been preaching every night this week. But I tell you what, I thank God for our church. And I thank God, Brother Larry, for you filling in. But I missed being here. I really did. Amen. And I thank God for our church. I want to preach this morning on the outcome of selfish choices. I don't want you to get so too bogged down in this, but I do want to say this. There'll be more than one message with that title on it. There is example after example after example in the Word of God of people that made selfish choices and the outcome thereof. And we're going to do a little study on those. Amen. And then there's example after example after example of people in the Word of God that chose for the right and chose for the Savior. And like we preached last Sunday morning on the woman in Proverbs 31, the opposite of selfish choices. That is portrayed in the Word of God over and over and over. And I just want to follow up, and I just want to mind the Lord. If the Lord sticks something else in the middle of all this, that'll be fine. It's His time. Amen. I'm just here to serve Him. And I want to be a help. I want to be a blessing. The first thing I want to say about the outcome of selfish choices is a choice was offered. If you look here in the Word of God and you study Genesis chapter number 3, you can understand that Adam and Eve were not robots. There was a choice that was offered. I want to say this to mothers and fathers this morning. God, my friend, will not allow us to make our children robots either. They're going to make choices along the way. Amen. Adam and Eve made choices here. And I'll go into that in just a moment. But I think it's important to understand that a choice was offered. You know, God could have created us in a way that we had no choice. But God wanted us to choose to love Him, to choose to serve Him. God didn't want to have to, my friend, make us come to church. He wanted us to choose to come to church. He wanted us to choose to pray this week. He wanted us to choose to love someone else this week and choose the way of God. So a choice was offered. But let me give you some things here that the Lord has spoke to my heart about. Let me just say this. In this text, a choice was offered, and a choice is still being offered every day. The Word of God said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make thee a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. So every day that you and I have a series of choices to make, we need to understand that that's exactly what it is, a choice. A choice is offered, and that we can never say, God made me do this, and we can never say, the devil made me do this, but we must say, I made the right choice, or I made the wrong choice. And we did the choosing in the matter. Let me give you something that really spoke to my heart when God showed me this. Selfish choices, the outcome of selfish choices, they always begin with a question. Look at verse number 3, or chapter 3 and verse 1. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he says this, yea, hath God said. I'll tell you, God made this big in my heart when He showed it to me. We could go back in our lives and examine the choices that we made that were selfish, and they always begin with a question. Some of the questions might sound like this. Well, who's going to know about it anyway? Well, it's my life. What's it to anybody else what I do and what I choose? Does that sound familiar? Amen. You can go into the abortion industry and they say, well, it's a woman's choice. I say this, it's a woman's choice to get pregnant. After that, the baby doesn't have a choice. Say amen. The pro-choice is really no choice for the baby. That's the way it amounts to. Say amen. But God wants us to understand it always begins with a question. Who's going to find out? Well, it's my body. Well, it's not going to hurt anybody. It's not going to hurt anything, is it? Let me say this. There's a reason the Word of God said this in the Bible. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, you know the reason that's right there the way it is? In other words, what we do and the way we choose, we ought to be able to stand in the faith that God has given us in the Word of God and say, this is right in the eyes of God. Therefore, I can participate in it. Therefore, I can do this. Therefore, it is good for me and good for others. Amen. I mean, please, that's the right choice. That's good for God's kingdom. Selfish choices always begin with a question. Let me give you this. Selfish choices continue with human reasoning. The woman said unto the serpent, we may not eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. She added to the word of God, lest you die. You say, preacher, where does human reasoning come in there? Well, we can reason anything. I've said this before. If an individual wants to do something, if they ask enough people the same question, somebody will tell them it's all right to do it. That's human reasoning. Amen. The Word of God said this. What's the contrast? What's the opposite of that? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's the very opposite of human reasoning. Amen. God said in Isaiah, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. When we reason with Him and reason with the Scripture and reason with the outcome of selfish choices, then we'll make the right choice for the kingdom of God and for our Savior. There's a choice that's offered. Selfish choices begin with a question. They continue with human reasoning. And then selfish choices end with denial. Look in verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Just a flat out, it started with a question, but it ends with denial. I mean, it's beyond me. It's beyond me how that our society can deny the effects of alcohol on our society. While we chase every cigarette out of town, and invite every bottle into town. It's beyond me. Amen. Listen, it's been proven that cigarettes are bad for you. But listen, it's been proven also that alcohol's bad for you. And I'll tell you this much, a cigarette's never caused anybody to run over an innocent family out there on the highway. Amen. I'm just telling you that it ends with denial. What we do, you say, preacher, well, why don't they do something about that liquor industry? I'll tell you why. They like drinking it. They like their parties. Amen. They're not going to do anything about the liquor industry. It's a little bit more money. It's a flat out denial of the effects of alcohol. Effects of pornography. It's out there everywhere. The effects of premarital and extramarital sex. They want to deny. They start out by throwing you a question. Well, is it all that bad? And then they just come on and flat out deny the effects of selfish choices. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, God wants us to see the outcome. There's a choice offered. And then selfish choices. Watch in verse number 5. They always promise to promote. Guess who the selfish choice promotes? It always promises. It never promises to promote the Savior. It never promises to promote your wife or to promote your children. It never promises to promote your neighbor. It never promises to promote anybody except you. Watch what the Bible said in verse number 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye, or you, shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The selfish choices always promise to promote you, to make something more out of you. How many knows that's anti-God right there all by itself? Amen. I believe with all of my heart that when the devil said, hey, what he was doing is saying, Eve, you're missing out, and God knows you're missing out. If you'll just go ahead and take that fruit, isn't that what the devil's telling young people today? By the way, he's telling them 50 and 60 years old the same thing. Amen. I'm telling you, the divorce rate is rampant, and there's the old devil saying, you're missing out. It's greener over there. Yes, it is. It's always greener over the septic tank. Say amen. That's what's under the greener grass. A bunch of garbage. Amen. The selfish choice promotes you, promotes me, and then just leaves you flat dry. The selfish choice can never follow through. The old devil will promise you the moon. And he don't even control half of one star. Amen. A choice was offered. Adam here. I thought about this. I read this somewhere. But Adam would rather die with Eve than to live without her. Adam was not deceived in the transgression. The woman was deceived. By the way, let me just say this to you. You reckon the devil knew she was the weaker vessel? If that offends you, my friend, you just don't believe the Bible the way that you should. Amen. I tell you what, husbands, we ought to take our wives under our arms and under our wings. We ought to do everything we can to protect them because Slewfoot is after them. Amen. He wants to take them down. A choice was offered. Let me give you this, secondly, in the message. A course was altered. You say, preacher, what do you mean? God had a course in mind. God had for Adam and Eve, they were in a perfect setting. They were in a perfect environment. They were in a perfect body. But the course of their life was being altered. How many knows that selfish choices will alter the course of our life? There have been people that have been in an altar of prayer and surrendered their lives to preach, surrendered their lives to be a missionary. I read a story, I believe it was in Brother Jones's book on Ruth. I read that book last week. I read a story about a woman that my friend, she surrendered to be a missionary for the Lord on the mission field. And some young man come along, amen, one of them there, hunks. Let me tell you something about a hunk. You better look under the hood. It might be a hunk of junk. Say amen. You better measure it by more than his stature. Amen. You better see if he's got a heart for the living God. And this woman that had promised God and surrendered to be a missionary, she took off after this young man. And listen, you can read the story in that book, but the selfish choice, all she could do is look back and see how that it altered the very course that God had laid out for her life. And she could never be what God wanted her to be. I'll tell you tonight, this morning, there's an outcome involved. Their course was altered. Let me give you just three things quickly. They go from meeting the accuser in verse number four, chapter number 3, verse number 1, down through verse number 4. They meet the accuser early in the chapter, and in the middle of the chapter, they're making excuses. Do you know when people really get help? Let me tell you when a young man or a young woman really gets help, when they quit making excuses. And then they go to agreeing with God. I tell you, that's when a person's going to get saved. That's when a Christian is going to get forgiveness and repent. When they stop making excuses for their selfish behavior. And they say, this is not right in the eyes of God. This is destroying my life. And when they stop making those excuses, my friend, then they can get some help from God. Excuses. Excuses. You hear them every day. Now the devil, he'll supply them. If from church you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks out of the will of God and out of church, he offers them excuses. Excuses. They go not only from needing the accuser to making excuses, but they go from abiding in him to hiding from him. They're walking hand in hand in the garden with the God of the universe, enjoying his presence, enjoying his fellowship. And now they've got them some fig leaves sewed together and they're hiding among the trees. You say, preacher, what in the world happened? I tell you what happened. You're seeing the outcome of one selfish choice. I don't know about you, but I found out a long time ago, it's a whole lot better to abide in him than to hide from him. Let me just stop and say this. You can't hide. The psalmist said, if I made my bed in hell, I can't hide from him. Amen. He knows where we are. He knows what we are. He knows what we're doing. And thank God Almighty, he wants to help us to make choices that will honor him. The outcome. They go from blessings, the blessings of God on their lives in the creation. I mean, this man, perfect. This woman, perfect. This relationship, perfect. You see, in this chapter, they go from blessings to bloodshed. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Lord God made coats of skins. I'm not real intelligent, but if you get the skin off of an animal, I don't believe it's still walking around. That blood had to be shed. That life had to be given. And God was saying, down through time, the Lamb's going to come. Somebody's going to have to suffer because of this choice that's been made. I believe with all of my heart this morning, there's an outcome. We see a choice that was offered. We see a course that was altered. We see a curse that was ordered. You say, preacher, a curse? Yep. The curse is fourfold here. The Bible said here in verse number 14 about the serpent, he's going to be on his belly. He's going to be eating dust. It's a curse upon the serpent. He's going to crawl on his belly. There's a curse upon the woman in bearing children. There's going to be pain. Our first two children were born. Miss Eve went in there all by herself. I thought it was my job to walk up and down the hallway out there in the hospital and, you know, just wait to see what kind of cigars we need to give out. Amen. I didn't understand what all was going on in there. After that, I got saved. And when our second two children were born, I was right by Miss Eve's side. And I'm going to tell you something. Anybody that's ever stood by a woman's side knows that she goes through the jaws of death to bring that baby into this world. I asked my wife. One time I asked her if she'd marry me while she was going through that. She looked up at me, I'll kill you. And the next time I asked her, she loved me. I said, do you love me? Yes. That nurse said, honey, if she loves you right now, you've got a mate for life. A curse as a result of a selfish choice. A curse upon the serpent. A curse upon the woman. A curse upon the man. The Bible said, by the sweat of your face, you're going to eat bread. A curse. We see the serpent in his belly, the woman bearing children, the man breaking a sweat, all because of the curse. And the earth is bringing forth thorns and thistles, all because of one selfish choice. One selfish choice. I'm going to tell you something. I believe with all my heart that God wants this preacher. And God wants Bible Way Baptist Church. I believe it's the reason He put it in my heart. Just to be conscious of how we choose. Because when we choose selfishly, the outcome is not going to be good. You can mark it down. When we choose for the Savior, we'll see blessings, blessedness. But when we choose for ourselves, we'll see brokenness in our lives. And the lives of those that we care about. So, three things so far. The outcome of selfish choice. A choice was offered. A course was altered. A curse was ordered. And then give you this, number four. A child was murdered. You go into chapter number four and you're going to read the story. I'm not going to go there and read it all. But you read the story of Cain and Abel. Brother Dennis, this is what came to me as I studied. I wonder how Eve feels now about the choice she made. She's burying a son. And it ain't some thug out there somewhere, amen, some drug addict that killed him for a $5 bill or killed him for a $20 bill. It's his own brother. The outcome. A child is murdered as a result of this selfish choice. I appreciate Eve. I'm talking about here in the Bible and my wife. Eve is the mother of all living. But I'll guarantee you right now, in chapter number four, there's never been a mother's heart any heavier than what her mother's heart is. His mother's heart is. As she hears the news, God knew. They both brought an offering. The Lord rejected Cain's offering. And the Lord received Abel's offering. God taught me something this week as I studied this. I've made this statement for years, Brother Gale. I've said, I can't prove this, but I have to believe it with all my heart. I'm not going to be dogmatic about it, but after what God showed me, I'm dogmatic about it now. I've said it surely Adam and Eve must have taught Cain and Abel what was acceptable to God. You say, now, preacher, what did you get that helped you right there to nail her down tight? I'll tell you what I got. By faith, Abel. You know where you get faith from? From hearing. You know where you get hearing from? The Word of God. I tell you, God told Adam and Eve. God showed Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve showed their children. And Adam and Eve taught their children. And one of them, they rejected what they heard. And one of them received what he heard. And he operated by faith. By faith, Abel. The Word of God said, he, being dead, yet speaketh. What about that? How would you like to make the right choice like Abel did and be able to speak while the ages roll? By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained testimony that he pleased God. Wow! What a testimony. And yet Cain, a child, is murdered. The Bible teaches us here the Lord received Abel's offering. Let me give you this. This is important. Turn to chapter 4 real quickly. The Bible said in verse number 7, let me read verse 6 too. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? Let me answer that for you. Because he made a selfish choice. He chose to bring his own sacrifice instead of the sacrifice that God had ordered. Why art thou wroth? Look at verse 7. If thou doest well,
Shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You know what God is saying? God is saying, Cain, I'm giving you one more chance, son. Just do what's right. And instead of doing what's right, instead of ruling over his sibling because he did what was right, he ends up rejecting the Savior. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. A child was murdered. Adam and Eve were drove out. In verse number 24 of chapter 3, he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. They were drove out of the garden. And if you'll look down here in chapter 4 and verse number 14, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Let me just tell you something about selfish choices. They're never bringing you in. They're always driving you out. They're always driving you out. Let me say this to the young couples and the middle-aged couples and the older couples. Selfish choices will drive a wedge between you and your mate. They'll drive a wedge. Satan is not pleased with marriage the way God intended it. He's always trying to distort it. You can say whatever you want to, but in the eyes of God, a woman will never be yoked up with a woman, and a man will never be yoked up with a man. That'll never be right in the eyes of God. He'll never accept it. I don't care how many nations do, he will never accept it. Selfish choices will drive a wedge between a man and his wife. Let me say something to the youngins. I love them. Selfish choices will drive a wedge between you all and your parents. Either way, whether it's the parent making the selfish choice or whether it's the youngin making the selfish choice, it'll drive a wedge right in there. Let me say something to you. This goes both ways as well. Selfish choices will drive a wedge between a pastor and his people. How many of y'all know that we have an enemy that literally hates unity? That literally hates the family atmosphere, loving one another. So he would do anything he could to drive a wedge between the pastor and his people. You better believe he would. He'll try to drive a wedge between the Sunday school teacher and his class or her class. He's always trying to drive a wedge. He's always trying to drive out. He's never trying to bring somebody in. Always trying to drive them out. I don't know about you, but I thank God this morning that the Lord is warning us here about the outcome of selfish choices. I preached in prison for 10 years. Many of y'all are aware of that. I was with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, spent 10 years of my life preaching in prison. Can I tell you why? I would almost guarantee you that the majority of those men were in prison. Selfish choices. Am I right, Brother Wayne? And by the way, it's the grace of God some of us didn't end up there. Say amen. I'm not putting those men down. But I've looked those men in the eyes and tried to preach to their hearts many times and told them, listen, it's a lack of respect for the authority that God has put in your life that's wound you up in a place like this. It starts out, by the way, you better just put some checks in there right now. You say, well, he's just 2 years old. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. You better be looking at 2 years old. You better not wait till 20 years old. You about wait too late. There needs to be some submission. There needs to be an honoring a mother and a father. There needs to be an honoring a Sunday school teacher. There needs to be honoring that teacher at school. There needs to be honoring that policeman. Say amen. I made the bad mistake one time of calling a policeman a pig, but only made it once. Daddy seen to it that I only made that mistake once. See, I had to come down here and get around my first cousins to learn the language. One of those police officers passed us on the road, and I said, "There goes one of them pigs, Dad." When Dad got finished, I never did say that again. I'll just say this. There's a whole lot come out of the late 60s and early 70s. We're still reaping today. I've tried to quit, but I got to get to one more thing. Selfish choices, the outcome. God wants us to look at the outcome, and then we can change it in the beginning. I don't know about you. I met a family last week. They labored. This man and his wife labored together. They really did, and built a home. They built a cabin. And I used to pastor a man that built one of those. And he said, "Never again." And he said, "I don't even want to sing the song or hear the song, 'Lord, build me just a cabin in the corner of glory land.'" He said, "I'm done with that." They labored together to live in it 3.5 months, and it burned to the ground. And they lost everything that they had. Now, wait a minute. The outcome. It took place, according to the fire marshal, because of a fan motor that was in the fireplace. Let me ask you a question. Had they known the outcome, how many believes they might not even put a fireplace in it? I mean, they might have just skipped the whole fireplace deal. Say amen. Or had they known the outcome, they might have unplugged that or turned that off. I'm just saying, listen, God's showing us the outcome of selfish choices. So let's determine, by the grace of God, to choose for the Savior and not choose for ourselves. To choose for others. You remember the statement that God gave me early in the message. Two statements. We'll never be more like the devil than when we're rebelling. Choosing for ourselves in rebellion. And we'll never be more like the Savior than when we're choosing for others in submission. What about that? Question is, who do we want to be like? We see the outcome. In closing, let me say this. We see Christ the deliverer. He's the only one. In chapter number 3, in verse number 15, he said, "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." He said, "Preacher, what are you going to say right here?" I'm going to say there's one that can overrule in the affairs of men, and his name is Jesus. Thank God when I was 27 years old, I had made selfish choice after selfish choice after selfish choice. But I met the Master, and thank God He turned my life around. We cannot leave Adam and Eve with no hope because there's a Savior. We can't leave the individual that's made selfish choices and bad choices. Somebody said, "What are you going to go into them prisons for?" I know you've heard it, Brother Wayne. What do you want to go in there for? That outfit, that bunch. They deserve what they're getting. You and I deserve hell too. I never went to prison to try to get anybody out of prison. I went there to try to get them out of hell. The Savior, the Deliverer. Let me show you something right here that's really good, I think. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Look at Genesis chapter 1 quickly. I'm just going to read verse 31. I was going to start verse 28, but I'm going to read verse 31. "And God saw everything that He had made. And behold, it was..." Would you say those two words with me? Very good. Say them with me. Very good. God saw everything, Sister Geraldine, that He made. He made the sun, the stars, the earth, the moon, the sea, all that's therein, the plant life, the animal kingdom. And He made a man out of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And He said, "Boy, this is very good." And then God saw, in chapter number 3, a choice that was made. How many believes it would not be a stretch at all if God was going to describe that choice to say it was very bad? Maybe very, 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 till Jesus comes, bad. Amen. Very bad. So here's what I want you to see. In the creation, it was very good. That's what God said. He saw all that he made, and it was very good. In the choice, it was very bad. But let me give you something right here. It'll bless you. It'll help you. When a man gets saved, God says it's good again. You say, preacher, where did you get that? Well, the Bible said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So you have the creation. Then you have the choice and the curse that goes with it. And now you have the new creation. You have somebody saved by the grace of God. Let me show you something right here. Turn over here in the Bible to Luke chapter 12 and verse number 31. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 31. And I'm done. In Luke chapter 12, I want to read two verses of Scripture. Verse 31 and 32. Luke chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Watch this now. How many believe that's the right choice, to seek first the kingdom of God? Look at verse number 32. He said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's, what's that next word? Good. Good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Only Christ, who was promised to us in Genesis 3 and verse number 15. Only Christ can take that was very good in creation, that was ruined in a choice and a curse, and make it very good again for the glory of God Almighty. Now that works a couple different ways. That works in the life of a sinner. When a sinner gets saved, that's very good. But it works also in the life of a saint. You say, preacher, what do you mean? How many knows that when we got saved, it was very good? You can make choices that turns out very bad. But you know what we can do? We can repent and call on the Lord and confess our sin to Him. He can make it very good again. You say, preacher, what is that? I'll tell you what it is. It's grace. It's grace. It's mercy. And it's only the God of grace and mercy that can take a bad choice and make some good out of it. I don't know about you. I see it in the book of Ruth. When Elimelech chose to leave Bethlehem, Judah, and go down to Moab, you say whatever you want to about that choice. That was a bad choice. He died in Moab. Chilion died in Moab. Mahlon died in Moab. A bad choice. But I'll tell you something. If you read the book of Ruth, the God of all grace took a bad choice. You say, preacher, are you trying to encourage us to make bad choices? Oh, no. All I'm trying to encourage you is that if you have, it's not over. I love that song. It said, over and over, He molds me and makes me into His likeness. He fashions the clay. I don't know about you, but I'm glad He didn't throw the clay away. I'd have been done if He had. God wants us to understand the outcome of selfish choices. Let's do our best this afternoon. Somebody said yesterday's a canceled check, tomorrow's a promissory note, today's all the cash you have, so spend it wisely. Let's do our best this afternoon to choose for others, to choose for the Savior, to choose and that magnifies Him. If you're here today and you're not saved, let me encourage you to choose Christ. You say, preacher, a person don't have any choice in the matter. Well, then I don't understand the Bible. The Bible said, choose you this day who you'll serve. Amen. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. If it's an automatic, then why did God exhort us not to harden our heart? If you hear His voice, He's speaking to you. Maybe you've made some. How many can relate to this word, stupid choices? How many can relate to that besides me? Anybody? Amen, Brother Gale. Some stupid choices. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for the blood that covers it. Covers it all. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the privilege to be here, the house of God. Lord, you sure have been good to me. God, I don't want to try to repay you. I could never repay you. But God, I do want to honor you with the choices that I make in my life. God, I've made so many foolish choices. Lord, I've made a bunch of them since I've been saved. I know, Lord, that many wouldn't admit that. God, I can't hide anything from you. God, I just pray this morning that as we've studied for a little while, the outcome of selfish choices, God, that we would just determine in our heart, determine, Lord, that we choose by the grace of God for others and for the Savior, not for self and for Satan. Help us, Lord.